Earth, sky.
Well, I'd like people to know that when we think about our ancestors, especially the ones that were first in Europe, the modern humans first in Europe, that they really were ourselves.
You're listening to author Jean Owl, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Jean Owl's latest novel is called The Land of Painted Caves. It's the sixth in a series that takes place about 30,000 years ago and follows the story of a young woman finding her way in a world of Cro-Magnons and Neanderthals. Jean Owl spoke with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Ms. Owl, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Now, congratulations on the release today of your book, The Land of Painted Caves. It's the sixth book of a series that takes place about 30,000 years ago and tells the story of a young woman in a world of Cro-Magnons and Neanderthals. What inspired you to write about Stone Age life?
Well, the story did. I started out with an idea for a story of a young woman who was living with people who were different, and I wanted something substantial, not just different color hair or skin or eyes or anything. And so I started looking around, doing a little research at home, starting with the Encyclopedia Britannica and then going to the library and finding out that there really was this wonderful period in our own history when we lived in Ice Age Europe and the Neanderthals lived there also. And they were also intelligent human beings in spite of what Hollywood has been trying to tell us for years. That's trouble. Too many of us have been educated by Hollywood rather than by what I now have discovered are actual facts that make Neanderthal much more human than some people have thought.
Well, right. I mean, readers of your books, they marvel at your ability to breathe life into what little we know about these Ice Age Europeans. What kind of research went into the Land of Painted Caves?
Well, most of it was really library research, you know, reading the books by the specialists. I came up with the idea, but the real fun and the real excitement came when I got into the research and discovered how much was there that we didn't know. So I decided I wanted to tell it, but I wanted to tell it in a way that was understandable to most people. So that's fiction.
Well, right. And I mean, in a sense, it's almost like your characters are ancient scientists. They're people who read your Earth's Children series. They can learn about, you know, some botany, herbs, medicine, a little bit of archaeology, anthropology. So what are your thoughts on this intersection of science in your series of books?
Well, the intersection is, of course, where I live. I love science, first of all. I've always had a kind of a love affair with science. But it was really the story that drove it, and when I got into it and really realized how much was there, that it wasn't, you know, these kind of savages that, as I say, Hollywood has sort of convinced us they were. Cro-Magnon were our own grandparents many times over, but they were anatomically early modern humans. So they had the capabilities that we have. And the Neanderthal, while they were different, we're not still entirely sure in what ways they were different. But we certainly know that they were intelligent. They had a very large brain, actually larger than the average of today. And what we don't know for sure is exactly how they used it. So before I could ever write a Neanderthal character, I had to invent my Neanderthal.
Now, may I ask a little bit about what's going on inside of your brain in telling us perhaps an experience you've had in witnessing cave paintings, which form some of the core images of the Land of Painted Caves?
I have had some. I mean, I've been very fortunate because I've met many of the specialists in the field, and they have been extremely kind and very helpful. Almost any place that I've ever wanted to go, I've gotten not only permission, but usually a special guided tour. You know, I have been in the newest cave, Chauvet Cave, which was found in 1994. And it was actually Jean-Marie Chauvet who took us there along with the curator who was in charge of that cave. So it was, you know, not only just going and looking, but going and learning. So it was wonderful. And that particular cave is gorgeous all by itself. It's one of these, you know, it's got orange and white draperies on the wall, and it's just a beautiful cave. But then, of course, there's a tremendous amount of art in that cave. It's a huge cave. So it was just great fun to be able to explore that.
I mean, I guess most people listening can only see it, but perhaps on the internet, but I guess I'm seeing it up close in the three dimensions of the cave wall. I guess that kind of that might take your breath away.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, even though they do have, apparently there's even a movie that's coming out in which Jean-Claude, who's a friend, has a starring role. He's the scientist who is recognized as probably the top scientist in terms of cave art in the world. But even seeing it in a movie, even seeing it on the internet, it's not the same as when you are there inside that environment. It really helps you to get a sense of that world.
And I'm speaking of the internet, we have a question from Twitter. Anthropologist and author Barbara J. King of the College of William and Mary. She asks, in considering the Chauvet and Lascaux caves, which set of ancient images do you find most stirring and why?
I actually have found both of them. I've been in many, many caves, and not all of them are gorgeous and beautiful. They're all interesting. But the ones that I have had really, the first cave that I was ever in was Lascaux. And I ended up crying. I mean, it was such a powerful experience. And I did the same thing in Chauvet. I got in front of that panel where those four horses are there in perspective, and I'm just, it overwhelms me. So I maybe that's what came through in the book, I hope anyway.
And you've written in great detail about the day-to-day life of ancient Europeans. From, you know, what they had for lunch to how they have sex and more. Would you describe this as an obsession with cave people? How would you describe your relationship?
Well, I think that the reason that you want to have a lot of detail and a lot of explanation is that, you know, if you're a modern person, you're writing about a contemporary novel, and you say, he got in his car and drove into the city and he had lunch. Okay, it doesn't matter if the city is London or New York or Brisbane or Tokyo or wherever it is. It's understandable. You know what that means. But where does a caveman go to have lunch? You know, most of us don't know that kind of stuff. And if you leave it out, it's just a big blank for people because they don't understand it either. So I had to find out in order to make the story more believable, so that readers could suspend their sense of disbelief and say, this is really how it could have been.
What's the most important thing you want people today to know about the land of painted caves?
Well, I'd like people to know that when we think about our ancestors, especially the ones that were first in Europe, the modern humans first in Europe, that they really were ourselves and that we can learn. And of course, the one of the interesting things is that there's no evidence of warfare in those early modern humans. You don't get that until you get into agriculture. So I think if it's something that we learned how to do, we could unlearn it.
You've been listening to author Jean Owl. Her latest book is The Land of Painted Caves. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.